Okay, let's tonight we're going to do our best to search out the truth from the Word of God, as always. You know, if somebody knows the truth, they can make it simple and easy to understand. The Bible, I've said this before, the Bible's not supposed to be a book of hidden secrets or dark mysteries. It's a book that's given to us by God to reveal truth to the sincere, not to the doubter, but to the sincere. And we're glad that God has given us His Word in our language so that we can read it, study it, learn from it, live by it, and be blessed accordingly. We've been studying the book of Philippians for, I guess it's 15 Mondays now, and we've been looking at this idea that's found in Philippians chapter 1, this idea that it is far better to depart and be with Christ than it is to stay alive in these bodies on this earth. We were right in the middle of that last time, and we were talking about the passage in Romans chapter 8. You should still be able to get the notes that I accidentally sent you last night, and you can follow along there. But that passage we were looking at in Romans 8 said that in no uncertain terms, that as long as we are in these mortal bodies, we are going to groan within ourselves, waiting for and longing for the day when Jesus comes to set us free from these houses of clay. Now, He has set us free from sin. The moment we trusted His finished work and received everlasting life through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are longing for the day when the consequences of the fall of man, which so evidently work themselves out in our bodies from day to day, we're looking forward to that day when those things are a thing of the past. They're no more. So let's go back to that chapter in Romans, chapter 8, verse 23. Like I said, I know this is a Philippians study, but we actually aren't going to spend much time in Philippians tonight. We need to finish this Romans passage before we can get back to Philippians. In Romans 8, verse 23, the Bible says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves." Okay, now this here, this is not talking about physical suffering in the body. This here is internal suffering in the soul. Okay, so why would the inner man, the born-again man, new life from the Holy Ghost, who is eternal, why would he groan and travail in pain, waiting for Jesus to come again? Okay, so let's think about this. Most of you, you've been to enough prayer meetings to know the kind of things you're going to hear in the way of prayer requests. Pray for Susie, she's sick. Pray for Bobby, he broke his arm. Pray for Billy, he skinned his knee. Pray for Sally, she has a toothache. You know, you'll hear 30 prayer requests about aches and pains in the body before anybody raises their hand and says, "Will somebody pray for me? I'm just sick and tired of hearing filth on my job all day long. Those curse words, they're getting into my mind and defiling me. Will somebody pray that God would sanctify my ears?" See the difference? Okay. I mean, think about it. Is there something inside of you that groans when you see pornographic images on highway billboards and magazine covers in the checkout line at the grocery store? Is there something inside of you that groans when you see mothers who are dressing their little daughters like prostitutes to send them off to public school? Is there something inside of you that groans when you see 13 and 14-year-old boys listening to cop-killing, parent-hating, God-defying rap music? Is there something that groans inside of you when you just look around and say, "Why are there so many hateful, blind, stupid, vain people?" Isn't there something inside of you that looks around and says, "God, get me out of this place"? I'm talking about on a day that you feel good. No headache, no backache, no disease. I mean, don't you just look around this world and say, "God, I don't want my kids to have to see this. Why should my wife have to listen to this language in this restaurant? Why should I have to hear this music? I mean, I can't even go to the store without hearing somebody enticing me to fornicate over the PA system in the grocery store. You know, I mean, don't you get tired of that stuff? Or have you just become accustomed to it? Okay, isn't there something inside of you that says, oh God, could you take me to a place where everyone is holy? Can you take me to a place where everyone is decent? Can you take me to a place where everyone loves the Lord? You know, sometimes Christian workers just get, you know, they're out there onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. So they get out there and they're handing out gospel tracts, holding up signs, preaching the gospel. And it doesn't even bother them that people are giving them the finger and cursing Jesus. I mean, sure, I can take it, but I sure would rather be in a place where if I said, praise the Lord, everybody there shouted, hallelujah. Wouldn't that be nice? I don't know about you. There's something inside me that just gets fed up with this world. I'd like to be in heaven. It would be a wonderful thing. I mean, around this world today, communists, Muslims, Hindus, atheists, and people of various religions and political persuasions are killing people because those people are Christians. No other reason. Wouldn't you like to go to a world where such things do not happen? That would be a wonderful thing. Right now, on soil from one end of this earth to the other, the blood of innocents is being poured into the ground as wars and conflicts and violence rage, testifying to the fact that man cannot be satisfied. Wouldn't you like to go to a place where those kind of things never happen? I'm looking forward to going to a place where boys and girls don't grow up orphans because mother and father were murdered for the simple crime of putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to going to a world that doesn't hate my Savior and hate his people. I'm looking forward to going to a world where people don't lose their lives and their property and their homes and their families because they love the Savior. I'm talking about on days when you're feeling good. You got money in the bank, gas in the car, everything's going fine in the family. I mean, don't you ever just walk by the news rack and you see those headlines on the newspaper and you think to yourself, God, when are you going to get us out of here? Wouldn't it be wonderful to never have to hear another lie? Never have to be the subject of a false report? Never have to hear another story about how crooked Christians are and how rotten preachers are? And most of those stories, they're being told by people who say they're saved. Wouldn't it be great to just get in a place where everything that has breath is praising the Lord? I don't know about you. Sometimes my insides just groan. I'm not hurting. I've got it good. But sometimes this world just wears you out. Wears you out. You know what? We are going to a place, all of us that are saved, we are going to a place where not only is sickness, sorrow, pain, and death going to be a thing of the past, but all of this grief and trouble, kidnapping, baby napping, child molesting, kids stolen from their parents. One day we are going to a place where none of that will ever happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, the next place we'll look is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It continues this along this same idea here. Only in this passage, we're going to be dealing with the physical aches and pains. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I like that. As you look at me right now through your video screen, you're looking at two people. Okay, the one that you see, that's the outer man. That one is falling apart. Trust me. The one you cannot see, that one is just as alive as he was the moment that I got saved through faith in Jesus Christ. My inner man stepped into eternal life. And there's not a stopwatch on that. Not a clock on it. Not a calendar on it. My inner man is brand new, newly saved, and will be a billion years from now. That inward man is renewed day by day, at the same time that the outward man is perishing. Verse 17, for our light affliction. Well, consider that this here, that what we just read, is from a man that got beaten with rods 39 times on a number of occasions. This is from a man who was stoned, who was nearly starved to death, who was imprisoned, who twice suffered shipwreck. He calls it a light affliction. Kind of embarrassing, isn't it? When you think about the kind of things we complain about. But he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And thank God for that. I don't care how long you live, that is nothing compared to forever. I don't care how many candles are on your birthday cake, that is nothing compared to eternity. So he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more. Does that sound familiar? We've heard that before, right? Far better, far more. Far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. So look at the two key words here. This is what kept Paul going through all of his suffering. That first word is moment, and the second word is temporal. Okay, so think about it. Think about it. Every hurtful, if you're saved, everything hurtful is temporary. That blessed hope, that longing for heaven, it's understandable. It is available. It's recommended. And I'm telling you, rather than live in anticipation of the years that are ahead, those years of physical suffering ahead of you, Paul, he lived in the anticipation of the momentary coming of the Lord. He could come at any moment. So Paul could handle all that pain. He could handle the thought that Jesus was on his way, and that's what kept him going. Okay? He didn't like the pain, but just thinking about the fact that Jesus could come at any moment, that kept him going. Now, so you don't need a shrink, a psychiatrist. What you need is a Bible. You don't need to pay for somebody to talk you out of it, whatever it is. You need to freely hear a preacher encourage you to live through it. Okay, now 2 Corinthians chapter 5 continues the same idea. Look at verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Okay, so our physical body, it's called a house, a tabernacle, a temporary dwelling place. Just like that tabernacle of the Old Testament, that was a temporary dwelling place for the ark. And then the temple, that was the permanent dwelling place for the ark. Okay, that was the picture. So what he's saying is, we live in a temporary dwelling place right now, and it's eventually going to be dissolved. Chapter 5, verse 1, 2 Corinthians. That's the future of our bodies. It's going to dissolve. Really. So, think about it. These bodies, you work them out, give them vitamins, take your minerals, eat health food or eat junk food, diet, put makeup on it, lift it, tuck it, trim it, exercise it. Eventually, it's going to be to worms what hamburgers are to you. Food, supper. I'm just being realistic here, just telling the truth. Nobody has escaped death yet. The death rate over the past 6,000 years, even with all of our medical science and advancements, the death rate is still 100%. You are living in a temporary dwelling place. Look at verse 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. How about that? I'm moving out of this old house and moving into a new house. Verse 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Do you know what your hope is if you are an atheist or a Hindu or an agnostic or a Buddhist or anything else but a Christian? Do you know what your great hope is? The only thing you got to look forward to? Dying. Dying. That's it. Dying. Man, I want to get out of this body. Sure. But I'm not just getting out of this body. I'm getting into a good one. A better one. That's Christianity. God in the Bible never asks you to give up something, but he told you you didn't have to worry about or feel bad about giving up something because he's going to replace it with something far better, far better. God doesn't just take away the hurtful. He replaces it with something far better. Now in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 5:5, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are yet at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If this is your last day on earth, you can be, verse 6, always confident. Verse 8, you can be confident, knowing that as soon as you are absent from this body, you will be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's as clear as God ever said anything. It's as clear as words could make it. Death for the Christian is not the end of life. It is being freed from a body that brings so much trouble and sorrow. It is to be freed from that body and to enter into the glorious presence of the Lord. Man, what a great thing it is to be saved through Jesus Christ. Amen. In Colossians, look there, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, hope fulfilled. Verse number 1, Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. How about that? we are looking forward to a day when what we now know by faith, when what God has now reckoned unto us is a visible reality that we are experiencing, not just looking forward to. Right now, in God's accounting, because Jesus' death has become my death, because Jesus' resurrection has become my resurrection, Jesus' dwelling place in heaven has become my dwelling place. Now, those are glorious truths there. That's all on account. It's accounted by God as being so, though I'm not yet experiencing the full reality of all those things which the Lord has done for me and for you if you're saved. But there's coming a day when the reckoning and the accounting will be our actual experience, and we will be in the presence of the Lord in a resurrection body and free forever from everything that ever brought a single tear to our eyes. Thanks be to God. No wonder Philippians chapter 1 says that to depart and be with Christ is far better, far better. In Revelation chapter 21, that should still be fresh in your minds. Revelation 21, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says this, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Do you notice, according to the Holy Spirit, what is the first big deal, the first thing to which he draws our attention about the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city? Now, I mean, you got to go way down in the chapter to get to the description of the city itself. But in verse number 3, God is with his people. That's the important thing. God is with his people. Verse number 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Okay, there's the groaning. Remember that groaning over the world condition. "And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." There's the physical suffering. "For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Okay, no tears, no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, no former things. Again, is it any wonder that Philippians chapter 1 says, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. If the Lord doesn't come today, I intend on serving him tomorrow. If the Lord doesn't come tomorrow, I plan on serving him the next day. But if he comes tonight, that sure will be quite all right with me, because it will be far better for me to be in heaven with Jesus than to be down here serving him. Now, isn't that the truth? I'm just telling you the truth. That's the absolute truth. And so, friends, your financial situation, maybe it'll get better. Maybe it'll get worse. The home that you're living in, you may live in a nicer home 5 years from now than you do today, or you might lose your nice home and have to live in one of lower quality. You might make a great number of new friends, or you might lose all your friends. I don't know if what awaits you is sickness or health, richer or poorer, better or worse. I don't know. Nobody knows. That's why the vows are spoken in that way when two people pledge to spend their lives together, because none of us knows. But here's what I know of a certainty, whether you're saved or lost, I know this for sure about you. Your physical body is going to give out. I know that of an absolute fact. It's only good for so many miles. It's only good for so many years. So I know that about your physical body. Now, if you're saved tonight, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're saved, your future is to one day leave behind the physical body that's wearing out, or will have worn out, and you will leave that body to enter the presence of the Lord. And you'll find that everything about the place that you've gone to is far better than anything about the place you left behind. That's the believer's hope. That's the Christian's certainty. And Philippians 1 says we are confident, absolutely certain that this very thing we've been talking about tonight will come to pass, just the way God said it would. We believe him, we trust him, we thank him, we praise him, not just for making our lives down here so much better, but for the hope of everlasting life when we leave this world behind. What a Savior. What a Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the hope that you give us, for the promises we find in your word. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit who reveals these truths to us and confirms them in our hearts and our souls. And we thank you, Lord, that you have something better for us. But in the meantime, Lord, help us to endure whatever pains or hardships or troubles that we're going to run into in this world. And help keep us pure, Lord, when we're surrounded by the filth of this world. Sanctify our ears, our eyes, our hands, our feet, that we might continue to serve you in the midst of all this junk down here, that we might make a difference in someone else's life and give them the hope that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.